coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
It's a Friday, a football Friday.
A beautiful Friday.
And a gorgeous one at that, to talk ball with you for these next 2 hours. Big, big show in store. Going to have a big guy from the Browns offensive line, rookie Joe Bitonio, third-round draft pick. He's going to join us, and we're going to talk with him about, we're going to talk a lot about his impact that he's having on this team, second-round pick, I should say, who is showing well in these OTAs and going to be, I think, someone that we're going to see in the starting lineup somewhere, maybe even multiple positions before it's all said and done with Joe Bitonio, but really looking to get inside his football mind and hear what he has to say. Nate Ulrich's going to join us in a little bit from the Akron Bacon Journal, from the Browns beat for the Journal, and we'll get into him, his thoughts on what he has seen during this mini camp, which continued today. This is the final day of week number 2. And this is one of those, Nathan, where the rookies are away, or some of them, and the veterans get to play.
The veterans did get to play today. Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, and Terrence West were at the rookie premiere out in L.A. Interestingly enough, Connor Shaw getting the nod, Notorious, over Justin Gilbert. And I hope that maybe puts a chip on Justin Gilbert's shoulder. But, and he was out there today at practice moving around, so that scare or whatever it was much ado about nothing, just as Mike Pettine said it was. So good news there for everybody with relating to Justin Gilbert. And Justin Gilbert said on his Twitter, said, "I will be practicing Friday." Well, thus far we can say that Justin Gilbert, man of his word on Twitter, which is good to see.
Yeah, you never want to see a guy putting ice on the knee. At any point, you know that starts to create those vibes. We had some people showing a little sense, I don't know if the word is panic, but concern. Hey, what does that mean? And as you said, Mike Pettine was very, very nonchalant about it and said, look, it's sore, but we'll get this guy back in action. And sure enough, today, Friday, he was out there doing his thing. And it's interesting that the rookie premiere, and I don't know if this just tells you that it's a real quarterback-centric event. There's only 35 rookies from throughout the NFL draft picks who were invited to take part in this out in Los Angeles. It's a 3-day event. Card companies like Topps are involved and others for these guys to get photographed and some rookie orientation going on as well. But this is the NFLPA, the NFL Players Association event, an annual event that they've had. It goes back, I think it started in 1994. And I've been to a bunch of those, and they tend to have them right out there in Los Angeles. So you'll see like the settings that are there. They kind of create football scenes for these players to wear their jerseys and such and pose for their photos, for their rookie cards. That's a big part of this, plus kind of partake and enjoy the atmosphere around there. So a little bit of fun time, a little bit of rookie education for these guys. And all of that going on in Los Angeles with about 35 or so of these guys. No surprise that Johnny Manziel is going to be the big, the focal point of this thing. He's clearly the biggest name among the players out there.
The media is interested in him, are you sure?
Maybe, just a little. And we're going to also on this show talk a little bit about, maybe a lot about, and this takes us to our Ohio Business Machine's Hot Topics of the Day, Jimmy Graham. The thought that maybe he becomes available from the New Orleans Saints for a couple of first-round draft picks. It would take you one in 2015, one in 2016 to get this guy. Is this a guy, this tight end, this outstanding tight end for the Saints, someone the Browns should even consider making a play for? We're going to have Joel Corey, who's a former NFL agent, and he handles the contract and salary cap beat for National Football Post and also for CBSSports.com. He had an interesting article kind of outlining the potential for Graham's availability elsewhere. He references the Browns as one of the teams that could have an interest in him. Basically, the problem with Graham is he wants to be defined in terms of his franchise tag, as a receiver, to be tagged at a higher number than a tight end. I don't know about this one. I mean, from a Browns standpoint, sure, it'd be great to have the addition of that talent in a very tight end friendly offense. I'm not sure I want to make that. In fact, I know I don't want to give up two number ones for that player. I just don't want to do it now.
I don't want to do it either. And that's where the cost is prohibitive. And you already have a Pro Bowl tight end in Jordan Cameron. And I know, oh, but you can have two tight ends. And, yes, you certainly can have two tight ends. And you can have, you know, like we saw in New England with Gronkowski and that other guy they had there who's done some bad things, Aaron Hernandez. But that's one of the ways that you can run an offense here. Now, I haven't seen Kyle Shanahan. He does use a lot of two tight ends, but I haven't seen him use two tight ends flexed out like that. I'm sure he would be able to adapt to it. But for this team that is still building, I think that those two first-round picks are very valuable to what they're overall trying to create here in terms of a roster from top to bottom, number one. Number two, I don't believe that is the kind of a move that a team makes unless they feel that Jimmy Graham unlocks the Super Bowl for them, that he is the key to winning a right. Super Bowl for your team. So maybe New England, if they decide to go that route, that would make sense to me. San Francisco would make sense to me. Somebody who's that good already, imagine Jimmy Graham going to Seattle where they don't really have a pass-catching tight end. Those are the kind of moves that make sense because you're talking about two late first-round picks, hopefully, and you're doing it to win and to win now and make a statement, and you're not worried so much about your longevity as a franchise. You're worried about winning while you can. And that's not the boat that the Browns are in my opinion.
No, you hit that right on the head. This is about being a piece away, maybe two, away from a championship, from a Super Bowl. And that's what you – when you make that investment in a player like that, you don't worry about mortgaging your future because you're not mortgaging your future. Your future is now. The Browns' future still is future. It still has development of younger players in key positions, not the least of which is quarterback. Yes, they want to have – I mean, they're not ruling out an opportunity to be successful in 2014. The free agent moves that they made, Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner, speaking the loudest about that and other acquisitions they've made, Ben Tate. Those are all about being good right now, working with short, probably two-year window opportunities with those players. But it's a different conversation than saying you're the Seahawks, you've won a Super Bowl, or you're the Patriots, and you're consistently in Super Bowl contention, and you won one a while ago, to say, okay, if we get this guy and we give up whatever it takes from a draft pick standpoint, two number ones, which is really paying the ultimate price in picks to get a player like that.
To get anybody.
You do that for anybody. But it makes sense for those teams to do it because they're going to have immediate success, and they're not saying future be damned, but future a lot less of a priority because they're there. They're where you – when you talk future, you're just
exactly.
talking about where you want to be at that place. The
right.
Browns aren't close to that place yet.
They're not. And the Saints in their mind, though, if you look at a lot of the moves they made, they think they are. It's going to come down to money because, remember, it's not just trade two first-round picks and you get Jimmy Graham. You're going to trade two first-round picks, get Jimmy Graham, who's likely going to be regarded as a wide receiver when this is all said and done, and be costing you double-digit millions of dollars a
right.
season.
Right.
So it's a financial investment. It is a huge future mortgaging investment in terms of the two first-round draft picks. So it is a serious, serious commitment to one player. Now, Jimmy Graham is great. I mean, you can make the case that he is the best tight end in the league, certainly the best pure pass-catching tight end in the league, no question about it. So, to me, you're right. There's a small subset of teams that would want to do it. One of the reasons I think that Joel has linked the Browns is because financially the Browns could do it.
Right. They have the room under the cap. They certainly have, again, the offense in which I think he could be fit. It would be a little bit of a change for him, maybe a big change for him, but it wouldn't reduce opportunities. If anything, it would help him or try to enhance him. But keeping in mind, you also have a Jordan Cameron here, and you're trying to make use of two guys, two prominent tight ends, a la the New England Patriots when they had two of the better tight ends on their football team at the same time. Now, when we look at things now with regard to Jimmy Graham as far as not just this possibility of a trade, the cause of this, why there is some great discord between him and the Saints, it's all over what could very well be a game changer for the league if, in fact, he is ever able to make the point that his tag should be that of a receiver versus a tight end because of those times that he has split out more like a receiver, because of those times in his actual
alignment. About 80%.
And right, the percentage says it that he
is
used that way.
Yes.
But he is a tight. But by definition, he is a tight end. Now, the semantical argument has dollars, you know, has huge dollars attached to it. And he knows that. But my question is, can that in some way force the hand, a greater hand of like the NFLPA and the NFL's involvement on this to kind of rework this? Because I'll tell you what, I'm Jordan Cameron, and I'm trying to work out a contract as a new contract with the Browns as a tight end. I'm paying pretty close attention to this.
Well, you certainly are, and the difference is you hit the nail on the head, though, for one of the reasons for what Jimmy Graham's biggest gripe is. It's that he's not lined up as a tight end. He is not lined up as a tight end. In fact, the vast majority of his time, he is lined up in the slot. And when you look at Jimmy Graham last year, you're talking about a guy who was lined up in the slot the vast majority of the time that he was on the field. And so that's what they're trying to say is why he's split out wide. He's yet split out all the way out wide, by the way, as a receiver, not just in the slot. So that's right. What he's trying to say. Make the case, listen, 80% of the time, I'm not lined up in line at all. Now, Jordan Cameron, if you go and look at the stats from last year, was flexed out 60% of the time, which was sixth most among all tight ends last year. But at the same time, that was in the Norv Turner offense. I don't think he's going to be flexed out nearly as much here in this offense under Kyle Shanahan because Washington didn't have a tight end who fit that bill in terms of the time flexed out, right, even close to that.
Yeah, they like to keep what we've seen so far, just watching how this offense has functioned at OTAs, the tight ends are often twins on one side, or they start both to the one side and then motion to another side, or they have them straight up as tight ends on opposite sides. But you're right, they're usually in tight, and it gives the option. What I think Kyle Shanahan likes to do to start plays is have them there for either run action movement or, and then if they do play action, they can start from the inside, then move and run their routes either down the seam or take them, bend them to the outside. And you see a lot of routes that kind of emanate from everything in close. You don't see a ton of spread in this particular offense, right? I mean, at least in the drills we've seen so far, it's really been most of what is happening in the way of movement happens via motion and happens via the quarterback's action that kind of gets things kind of moving and buys a little time for the receivers to then, you know, find their spots and those holes in the secondary. All right, coming up, we're going to have a conversation with Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal, Browns beat writer. We'll get his thoughts on OTAs and all things Browns. That's coming up. And again, Joel Petonio, rookie offensive lineman, second-round pick for the Browns, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Just getting it started on a Football Friday on CBD. He's Nathan Zagura. I'm Vic Carucci, and this is ESPN 850 WKNR.